Turn me down just a little bit, please. And I want to give you some of their secrets, it's called. And I have to go and investigate a little bit because I don't know too much about car racing. But I know it's a highly dangerous sport. It's a very accurate sport. It's a sport also that you got to be in total control of what you're doing and the things that's happening to you. So I want to talk to you tonight just about that. In the world, they tell you what's driving you, what's the force behind you, what's the power that drives you. Many times my bosses used to tell me that, what's driving you, Rocky? You know, in the world, we have certain things that drive us, but I want to know tonight who's driving you. You should know tonight who's driving you. One of the greatest things we can do is turn it on over to Jesus, but that's not always easy. So tonight, we're going to go to the Word in Matthew 16, but I'm going to read it from the Message Bible. Message Bible says it in a very simple, really easy way, but also it doesn't sometimes have a great impact in some of the words they use, but tonight, it fits the subject. So tonight, drivers, start your engines, because you're going to find out exactly how you're driving tonight. I'm going to share some gifts that they have that they share openly if you dig deep enough, and it is called the secrets of the top four drivers in the world. There's about 25 of them altogether, but these are the top four. Two out of those four are retired right now. And like I said, I'm not a real fan of race car driving. I've seen it before, but tonight I can apply it to this message so easily because sometimes we don't do too well in our driving ability when we're serving God and following His lead. Amen. So easy to know. This is something you might want to know. The Bible says we run a race, right? No matter what, it does say we run a race. Paul says it a lot of the times. But I want to tell you something. We might run the race, but we don't set the course. In professional driving, when they do it in Europe, they do it on landscape. They don't do it in the track. I'm not talking about the Indy 500. I'm talking about landscape racing. You know that they change that course? They don't leave it the same because they want to make sure no driver memorizes it, giving them an advantage over any other driver that's visiting them so that they don't have that course all mapped out. Because you see, we walk with the Lord thinking we got it all mapped out. We know exactly which way we're going to go, how it's going to happen. Thank you so much. God bless y'all. But it doesn't work that way. They like to train you young as far as being a race car driver. They want to catch you young. If you have that desire, if you have that gift in you, then they're going to give you what? The tools. They're going to help you with your talents. They're going to help you with what you already have in you. And that's how God raises you up. He already put it in you. We all got gifts. We got talents. But some of us are lazy talents. Lazy gifts. We don't want to use them. Open it up. Start your engines. It's a good thing. Now you can rev. Don't just rev on the street. Amen. People pull up to you. You know, they're calling you out. Well, Jesus is calling you out tonight. He's calling you out. So rev your engine, man. Get ready. Because I got news for you. I know the best driver in the world. I know the one that knows the course, set the course, developed all the gifts and talents, and all he wants is to sit in the driver's seat. But oh, no. We want to take full control of that. We want to drive our own life. We want to be able to do the things we want to do. But God says, if you just give my son a chance, if you just let him sit in the driver's seat, then he's going to be able to take control. We can't drive a car outside the driver's seat. You got to be in the driver's seat. Not all of us are really good drivers. Know what I mean? Some of us don't even follow the speed limits. There's a reason the word limit is on there. You know, we like to look at the word speed, go, not the limit part. You know, this is how it works sometimes. And I'm guilty of that too. Amen. I want to give you some tips though. I got this from Taguma. He's retired now. And he moved out of Hawaii. You know that, right? He actually made a statement on the news. He said, I got to move out of Hawaii. I got too many people. Don't like me. So he actually retired from Maui and moved to the mainland. And he's not telling anybody. Remember they had a Taguma website. Remember that? That was like, this is a radical dude, man. He gave everybody a ticket. Anyways, and you know my story. I got stopped when I was working in Lahaina on the main drag coming back. There was five of us speeding. Amen. We were speeding. We were doing 65. Well, it wasn't a 55, but then it went down to 45 right away. You know, he was behind the bushes of the 45. But anyways, he stopped me, and there were four other cars speeding too, and I was wondering, I did wonder, how come he stopped me? Might have been the most handsome guy on the road, you know, moving at that speed. That could have been a lot of things. But I didn't ask him. He just told me. He goes, you're wondering why I stopped you? I'm like, yeah. He goes, because you had the brightest color. I couldn't catch all five of you. So if you have a bright color car, you might want to take that into consideration when you're racing down the road, thinking that you're not being noticed because you're so colorful. That's not going to work that way. So remember, we might run the race as we've been called to, but we don't set the course. That course has already been set, even in professional racing. The Indy, yeah, you go around a track, and they know the track basically, but not in the biggest race, and that's around Europe, and that all landscape. They shut down the whole place, and they open up the roads. to these guys that are just maniacs. And some women today that are maniacs. But these four top drivers, the one thing they all have in common is that they always won the race. So I'd like us to turn to Matthew 16, and I'm going to read verses 24 to 26 in the Message Bible. The races are won and lost by the ability of the driver, not the car. So I've got news for you. The car counts, but not as much as the driver. It's the driver that counts. So this is how it reads, and I'm going to read it really quickly as you stand with me. Remember, the Message Bible is different. It's a little bit easier, but it's also in this Message Bible pertaining to the word tonight. As I read it, you're going to know why I want to use this one. I read it in the King James and the NIV, but it goes like this. Matthew 16. 24 to 26. I'm going curving here. Matthew 16, verses 24 to 26. Thank you. I'll wait another second because I said that wrong. So Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 to 26. You know the Message Bible, it doesn't have the verses. It just gives you where it is and how it goes. So it goes like this. Then Jesus went to work on his disciples. Anyone who intends to come with me has to be led by me. You're not in the driver's seat. I am. Don't run from suffering. Embrace it. Follow me and I'll show you how. Self-help is no help at all. Self-practice is not the way, but my way is sacrifice. To finding yourself, the true self and who you are, what kind of a deal is it to get everything you want in life but lose yourself? What could ever trade and be the value of your soul? Father, we thank you tonight. We want you, Jesus, in the driver's seat. We want you to take full direction in our life. Take control of everything we have. For you truly have given us the gifts, the talents, and we give it back to you to now direct our course. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So this is a powerful thing. Thank you for standing to reverence God. Race car drivers don't race to finish. Did you know that? They race to win. See, we want to finish the race, but they race to win. The Bible actually tells you that you should win the race. You should run that race to what? To win, not just finish it. God is faithful. He who began a good work in you is faithful to finish it. So he's going to finish that work. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't finish. It just means that you can't win without finishing, and you can't finish if you don't want to get that prize. That prize is a powerful thing. The prize is the power. The Bible actually says that you run that race for what? The prize. Well, those trophies, that's what they want. And, of course, they have a big kitty that goes with it. It's a outstanding check, sometimes $500,000. So they race for those things, too. But that's their goal. I want to give you some of the pointers that they came up with. These four top drivers give you these four basic things. Number one, a professional driver never focuses on the car in front of them. They focus on where they want their car to be. And that's at the finish line winning the prize. You're not hearing me. You see, sometimes we get so busy being Christians, we're looking at everybody else, paying attention to everything else, looking at who's in front of us, what they got, what they're working for, who's in back of us, what they got, what they don't have, on the side of us, who's hindering us, talking about us, making trouble to us. But these drivers, they don't do that. They're just focused right there. They've mastered moving at 165 to 200 miles an hour to look through the windshield of the driver in front of them and not even see the car. How gifted is that? That their focus is so powerful that they don't let nothing hinder them. They're not looking at someone that's looking at them. Yes, they see the cars on the side of them. And you might say, why are you talking about cars? Because sometimes we act like a driver that looks at everything else. Another thing that I learned that I didn't know is a professional driver, and you all drive, you're going to know this if you pay attention, never takes his foot off the accelerator. Never. In fact, I tried a little bit today driving. It's hard to drive like them. Well, of course, without the speed, because that would be like ridiculous. But they brake and clutch with their left foot. Their right foot never leaves the accelerator. Anybody want to guess why? I knew you'd ask me. Because they never want to lose their momentum. Once you take your foot off that accelerator in the physical realm, Pastor Randy and I were talking, he knows this. Once you take it off, if you watch your RPM gauge, it drops. which means the power thrust in the engine no longer exists. You may be moving still fast, but there's no thrust in you. So once you start to accelerate, you've lost at least 2 to 3 split seconds, which means it could cost you the race. So they actually, if you listen, next time you watch them racing, if you ever watch racing on television, you're going to really hear their engines. Thank you. They rev. When they're just shifting so fast, and their left foot is like probably a monkey. Their clutches are equipped closer to the floor. Their brakes are powered immediately. You don't have to press on a cushion. It just stops. But they don't brake to stop. They brake only when it's needed to stop a collision. But they don't hold the brake. That's number two. Now don't try it on your bicycles or on your cars, because it's very... I tried driving like that today. Oh yeah, that's hard. It's like... Because we're trained to move off the accelerator onto the brake pad. Which, guess what? You lose control of your car. You're not hearing me. You see, we lose control of our walk when we stop accelerating and we don't want to move forward no more. We just like to stalemate and kind of hang out. I don't like the way things are going, and I'm going to stay focused on that person in front of me because I don't like that person. I don't know why they're getting blessed. I don't know why they're doing this. I don't know why they're on the worship team. I can sing better than them. I don't know. Just focused on that car in front of you, and everybody else is passing you by. Because God wants you to focus on the prize. That's really what he wants us to do. And so I was blessed at this. Like I said, I'm not a car driver. I just have to go study. And I studied, there's 25 top-ranking drivers, and a lot of them win. But there's 4 outstanding, and again, 2 are retired. But that don't mean they don't know how to teach. So I had to punch in the secrets of professional drivers and dig to find out some information about how they actually drive. Another thing they do, and this is something that is true, is that whenever they come to a turn, they don't brake on the turn. They brake before the turn very quickly and accelerate it fully on the turn. It keeps you in control in the turn. See, a lot of Christians turn in life, but they brake in so much before that change comes. They brake in so much before they're coming into an unusual place where they're not too far. Oh, it's a little bit hard around here. And then they slide. A lot of Christians sliding through their walk. I like drivers. They're teaching me so much. And it's important. It's like Jesus said. And I love the translation here. Because it says, you're not in the driver's seat. I am. Jesus is telling you, if you're born again, you are truly born again. Yes, Jesus to your heart, Lord of your life, commander of your soul, then you ain't in the driver's seat. Stop grabbing a wheel. I got it. You know what Jesus don't like, and I don't care for him either, but I have it sometimes in my car, is a backseat driver sitting in the front. Not in the backseat driver sitting in the front. That's hard to drive like that. You notice our GPSs, most of them all have women's voices on there. That's deliberate. That is deliberate. It is. It's deliberate. Because we have a hard time anyway. But Jesus said, I am the one in the driver's seat. And what I really got in that part after that, he said, don't run from the suffering. Embrace it. Follow me and I'll show you. I'll show you what? I'll show you how. Nobody likes to suffer, and it's not about that, but we've got to carry our cross. I'm sorry, that's the way it goes. I'm not sorry for saying it. I'm sorry that it might disappoint you, but we got to carry our cross. Everybody. You can't be born again without a cross. It comes with the born again. It's a package deal. And I wanted the youth in tonight because I want you to know you can become great drivers if you just turn it over to the ultimate driver. The actual person that knows the course. He knows before the course in the action of us on that course, which is our life, of course. And he knows how to handle it. He can take the turns, the curves. Amen. Keep your foot on a forward motion. A lot of Christians, they're running out of RPM, revolutions per minute. They get revolutions per hour, revolutions per days, revolution per week. Slow motion Christians. The enemy, you know what that makes you? An easy target. So we got to keep moving, amen? So again, they don't just race to finish. They race for the prize. They race to conclude. So in one of the secrets of those drivers, of course, is never focusing on that car in front of you. and always where you want to end up. 1 Corinthians 9:24. I heard that there are three times. That's where actually you can find that. See, this is the word. It's just sounding different. There's three things they say about drivers. There's three types of drivers. In every professional ranking or any professional derby or whatever you want to call it, these Mario Andrade is the one that really put this together, and the other drivers work with him, believing, and they said it also in their manifest, their writings. They said the first driver is called the weak. They crash. When things get hot, when things get, they just crash. They're not able to handle it. They just crash. This is all biblical, you know, if you look at the where the seed is sown in the thorn and the dirt and the rock. The second is called the medium mediocre driver. This is their terminology. That driver, they give up after so long. They don't hold to it. They don't stay with it. And then you have what they call the winners. The winners aren't always those that get the prize. The winners are always those that finish the race, even if they come in and busted broke, cars are blowing up, but they go across the finish line. You ever seen those cars on fire, no more tires?
Yeah.
They don't care, they just go across the finish line. We're finishing the race. That's how we should be as Christians. Hey, my tire's kind of broke, my windshield's all gone, amen. My door is all pow, hallelujah. I'm hemorrhaging this way, hemorrhaging that way, but I'm still moving, and I've got momentum, because my foot's on the accelerator. I'm not going to take it off. That's all God is saying. Keep your foot on the accelerator. Amen. So what if making plenty of noise? If it ain't blown up, it's going to make it. Hallelujah. So when we give the driver's seat to Jesus, it may be difficult. It's hard, sure. It's hard. I know that too. At times it's actually painful for some people because they just gotta drive their life. Sometimes they drive it right into the wall. Sometimes they drive it right into the water. But we will win the prize when we finish the race. And I got news for you. The prize ain't here. The race is a long life, a good life, a life that God gives us. But we got to give him the driver's seat. He wants his son to sit in that driver's seat, in our relationships, in everything. Thank God he doesn't judge us for our mess-ups. Amen? Because I made a lot of those. No, seriously. But he doesn't, it's not a judgment of that. He just wants to correct us, let us learn from it. That's why I say, the mercy that God gives us, I don't even have words to explain that mercy. The compassion, beyond verbal communication in our language. Forgiveness, I wouldn't have forgiven me. I know my resume. And God is so willing, always waiting. And he wants to. My pastor always used to preach that God's perfect will is scripturally is that none should perish, but all come to repentance. Pastor Hopai used to always say that. And it's true because he wants everybody in heaven with him in that time that it will come. But until we get there, let's not push it. Amen? Some of us want to stay in that driver's seat, we want to press on the brake the whole way. Not too fast. I don't want to go to church that much. No, 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 no. Hold. Slow it down. Slow it down. One that holds the brake all the time is considered the first driver in their analogy. That's the weak. I'm not teasing anybody. I'm not criticizing. That's the driver's analogy. A driver's analogy of a weak driver is the one that always hits the brake whenever they're looking or danger comes their way. A professional driver that looks to win doesn't brake unless he has to, and he's still got his foot on the accelerator. Never drops his RPMs. Never drops. The RPM is what gives you momentum. Like you said, if you're moving at 160 miles, 200 miles an hour, 180 miles an hour, when you take your foot off that accelerator, you're still moving pretty fast. Maybe even 140, 135, 145, 120. You're still moving pretty fast, but you got no momentum now. You got no control over the car because you got no thrust. And God is saying, if you give my son that seat, he'll never take his foot off the accelerator in your life. He'll always keep you in a full thrust so that you don't lose your momentum. He doesn't want us to lose our momentum. Today we call it spiritual warfare. Pastor Bobby's been pounding that along with faith. Because it comes together. We had Pastor Jesse preach in Waianae. Last week we went in with them and he preached at Bishop Suella's church. He preached on forgiveness. Last week, Wednesday. And he said there's two points to forgiveness. One is your decision to forgive. But two, he said many people forget that you got to do warfare right after you forgive them. Because that's when the attacks come in full thrust. And if you think about it, most of us can forgive when we get to that point, but we ain't doing no warfare. You end up in warfare. No, you don't do no warfare because you figure it's all done because you forgave them. or they forgave you. No. That's when the enemy comes. That's when the warfare begins, because now you're releasing them. Your heart is being opened. You're letting Jesus take that driver's seat. He gets in that seat and he tells you, buckle up. Start your engines. See, so you got to start the engine. He's not going to do that for you. Start that engine. Get out of the driver's seat. Sit down right next to him. You get to see the full spectrum. You get to enjoy the biggest ride of your life because you're in the seat. Every, listen, I know when you was young, I want to see shotgun. We used to call that, right?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what you call it now, but that's what we call it. I want to sit next to the driver. Nobody in the background. Volkswagens, you want to sit in the front.
Yeah.
We only had two doors, you know what I mean? At least the ones we had. So it's important. And that's what these drivers do. They teach this even to younger drivers. They teach them the principles, the techniques at a young age that they took years, decades to learn by their crashes and all the things that they went through. Race car drivers don't race against the finish. They just don't race just to finish. They want to win the prize. The prize is not here on earth. The only way you're going to get the prize is to follow Jesus. Let him drive. Let him take control of that. We learned the three areas, the winners, and you know this, and I thought it was interesting. It's a simple thing. Mario Andrade said, the true winners aren't always the one that finish the first over the line of finish and get the checkered flag, although that would be the best. They're the ones that never give up until they do. Every racer wants to win. Paul says, we won the race, but only one wins the event. And this is what he's talking about in these races. See, if you don't give up, you will be the winner. If you don't collapse and give in, you will be the winner. But sometimes it's hard to keep our foot on that accelerator because we go through trials and troubles. We sing that song, God's not worried, why do I worry? You know, but we're still worried. And we're telling ourselves God's not worried. Benaiah sings that song in the morning sometimes. I love when he sings it. I'm like, oh, yes, this is true. This is true stuff. Because sometimes we don't mean to, and it's not that we look for it, but I get barraged in the morning. I don't know about you. It's like, you know, he's just waiting there. Is he getting up? Oh, no, he's snoring. He's not up yet. I thought there was tongues. Okay. So he's waiting. The enemy's waiting just to get in your brain and give you negative thoughts. And you're going to have a lousy day. Nobody loves you. Nobody cares what you got to say. Why even go to church? Stop preaching. They're not listening to you. The youth can't stand you. They just want to go to youth center, shoot pool. They don't want to hang out with you. I don't care. I don't listen to him. I don't listen to you. I just listen. Just kidding. I love you. What I'm saying is that I want Jesus in my driver's seat. Amen. Give him the wheel. Let him give you the momentum. Jesus will drive us into the success without us crashing. When you let Jesus drive, he never crashes. Did you ever notice that? He never crashes. He knows exactly where to go. He knows exactly the route. He knows exactly the course of life he's giving you. And it might not be the course for someone else, but it is your course. But he's the only one that knows it. We don't know the course. And without giving up, we will win the prize. Hebrews 12:1 says this. Run the race with endurance. You know what endurance is? Perseverance. Continual. Without giving up. Don't throw in the towel. I've watched races, sometimes just by accident, because I'm splitting the channels. And they like lose their tires. And I'm thinking, they're still driving. Well, they can't stop. They're moving at 200 miles an hour. You know what I mean? Not like they can break all of a sudden with those things. So it says, listen to this though. Run the race with endurance. And this is my part. As it comes in and it says it, this is how it works. Sin is like bad tires on a slippery road. That's what goes in the Message Bible. How's that? When you're a race car driver in this situation, sin is like bad tires. Ball ahead tires on a slippery road. You ain't got no traction in your walk. You ain't got no hold on where you're going. You're actually at the mercy of the conditions and not the one that really has control of your life until you turn it over to him. I don't want to be at the mercy of conditions, the mercy of the things in my environment. I want to be at the mercy of God. Because he's the best driver there is through Jesus Christ. He wants his son at the wheel. 2 Kings 9:20, you all know this. Message Bible says it this way. 2 Kings 9:20. The driving is as a driving of Jehu, And he drives furiously. He's a crazy man. The power of God can anoint us to drive in that same power. Crazy man. He drives like, Jesus probably drives like a crazy man. Because people think you're going to be crazy the things you do. But man, I tell you, that's so much fun. It's better than sitting around moping. No, seriously. Yeah? Lazy is not good. It's not good. We got to get active for the Lord. And the only way to do that is say, Lord, take the driver's seat. Take the driver's seat. Take the wheel. Amen. Maybe just, you know, when you first start and you take the, if you're going to shift a couple gears, maybe, you know, when you clutch, you know. Because we always want a piece for that, right? We always want to hold on to something we gave to Jesus. I'm going to give you all this, but can I take third gear? I just want third gear. Oh, come on. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You're looking at me like that because you make believe you don't know what I'm talking about. Shouldn't have to be responsible. I know that you know what I'm talking about. It's a lot of words. Did you guys get that? So basically, it's this. Jesus knows when to speed up, when to slow down, how and when to break in your life. In other words, in your walk as a follower of Christ. He knows all those things. So when we trust him in the driver's seat of our life, that's what he's going to do. He'll tell you, whoops, slow down. Whoops, speed up. You're moving too slow. You're moving too slow. Wait, wait, let's break a little bit. Let's break a little bit. But Jesus never takes his foot off the accelerator. In other words, he never takes his foot off your life. He never takes his anointing off your life. He never takes his love off your life. He never takes his mercy off your life. He's there even when you're not thinking you got mercy. He got mercy going on. He's filling your tank. And the two worst things, it says, according to the professional drivers, that you can run out of is gas and tread on your tire. Makes sense, right? Yeah. No gas, you ain't going nowhere. Tread on your tire, you're going to slide all over the place. Yeah. And this is something that I just had on my heart to share with y'all. Start up your engines. God's about to take a great, powerful ride with you. And it's going to bring joy to your life. I don't know about you, but I want joy, and I don't mind some happiness in there either every now and then. That'd be a nice thing. Amen. I'm here to encourage you tonight. That's all he wants. That's all he wants us to do. I don't have a lot to share, but Jehu, he was a crazy guy. You know him. He's like this, him, there. Whoa, who's that coming? It's like Jehu, the crazy guy. He drives crazy. You ever seen people on the road like that? When you're in school, you never had friends like that? Who's that? You know, that's a crazy guy. He drives crazy. And they never seem to get into an accident. So who's driving you? Who's driving your life? If you're driving your life, then you're in control. I hope you got enough petrol. And I hope you know when to change your tires, because when you let Jesus take it, he covers all the costs for that stuff. In fact, he's got the best pit stop. Guess who runs the pit stop? That's right, the Holy Ghost. He's in a pit stop flagging you. Come on, get inside. You know, no, I got plenty of money to go. I got plenty of money to go. That's why they have those headsets. Pull in now. Pull in now, and the Holy Ghost is in that pit stop. And he'll make sure you have everything you need. Because remember, you're sitting on the side of Jesus. You're sitting in the front, getting a full view. You got a helmet on, hallelujah. You got a seatbelt, but he's driving. Amen. He's driving your life. He's pushing you. He's not going to push you too far. He's not going to hold you back. He wants the best for us, always. Give him a chance. Hallelujah. I'm not saying you're not born again. I'm saying you're not letting him drive your life. If you're not letting him, I'm learning how to do that. If you're not letting him drive your life, listen, you're going to end up with some flat tires. Amen. You know that they pull into that pit stop long before their tires even wear. So many rounds, boom, they pull in. Gas up, boom. You ever seen those cars go up? Vroom, vroom, and they're out of there. And the ones that run by race, they have different drivers that jump in the car at different times to make sure that the winning driver, the one that starts it, has all that he needs to finish strong. Because they move at a high speed for so long, it's difficult at times. And so I say, I just did a brief study, and I was amazed at that brief study and how these drivers actually condition their mind. It says their focus has to be 100% on where they want to be. So where do you want to be? 100%. I heard a preacher say today that when their loved one died, they were really sad. They were so sad that part of them was driving their own self, you know, to want to be with them in heaven, you know, and knowing that that's the final place. And another preacher friend of his came up and said, "Hey, why are you pushing Jesus? You're here because you got to finish what God has started in your life. You're here because you got to finish. Yes, it's the greatest prize," and that's why I was really blessed. "It's the greatest prize you can receive, and that's your home, but you ain't ready to go home yet. The lights are on. They'll be there when you get there. Your loved one's going to be there, but if you don't see that God has a purpose for you here, then it's going to be hard for you to adjust to what's happening." I know Pastor Russ knows. Pastor Russ went through major, but Pastor Russ, he's that winner. He's the driver. Mr. Mendez, he's the driver. But they turned it over to Jesus. Because when your loved one, when your soulmate goes home, there's a disconnect. But we're still connected to the one that connected us to them. So there's never a place where you're ever alone. Yes. And I shared this. When your loved one goes home, it never gets easier. But it does get better. Better only because Jesus got control of that steering wheel. He's knowing how to drive your life. And he's not going to drive you into the ditch. He's not going to drive you into the wall. He's going to drive you to victory. And he'll keep on doing that as long as you let him have the steering wheel. It's important. Amen. We can avoid ditches, bumps, grinds of life. He's the perfect driver in every race. Every race. Jesus knows when to speed up, when to slow down, when to turn, when to brake, when to stop. That's the pit stop. Amen. That's when the Holy Spirit will speak to you. Proverbs 24. I believe it's 24. Might have added another one here. I don't know. Try to look it up for me. 24. How many verses in chapter 24? Look it up for me. Please. 34. Okay, look at verse 32. So it's right. Right next to 32, I have "sir." I don't know why "sir" is next to that. But my iPad is very strange along with me. So let's make sure we got the right scripture. I'm pretty sure. But this is again in the Message Bible. Proverbs 24:32. "When I saw,"
yep,
"I reflected upon it."
Yep.
"When I looked, I received instruction."
Yeah.
So when I saw, what did I do? Reflect. I thought about it. I paused a little bit. I say loud. I made sure. I checked it out. But now, I looked and I received instruction. Every driver on the road to their victory has a headset on. They're in touch not with the pit stop. They're in touch with the one person that controls the pit stop. That controls the whole revenue in front of them. And the avenue of everything they'll have. They're not talking to five or six people. They're not talking to everybody because you want advice for everybody until you hear what you want. Hello, pit drop. Yeah, is my tires ready for? No, not ready yet. Oh, pit stop. Do I have enough gas out on it? Oh, not ready yet. He talks to the one that controls the pit stop. So on one headset, he's speaking to the driver. And in the other mic he has down below, he's speaking to the pit stop. He's coming in now. Boom, they're ready. See, the Holy Spirit, that's how he operates. And that's why I'm sharing this. He's got the headset on. He's the one that's in touch with Jesus. He's the one communicating the wisdom and the power into our lives. And he's saying, "Nah, ready, now." So in other words, he knows when we need rest. He knows when we need to move forward. He knows when we need to trust. He knows when we need to take full advantage of our situation. When we get lazy for Jesus, the car is not going to go nowhere. Say, "You don't want me to drive? I won't drive." It's okay. You know, if that's what you want, but that's not going to help. So tonight, if we just make a conscious decision and go into warfare, we'll be able to do it. As I said, Jehu was a driving force, and he had a lot of power behind him because God had called him to do something. When he was anointed, it says that he was told, the person of the prophets that came to anoint him was told, "Anoint him and then run." How about if somebody tells you, "Deliver this package lunch and then run"? You know, you don't know what's in the package lunch to begin with, and then you wonder, "Why I gotta run?" But now curiosity, we'd be like, "What if I don't run just a few minutes?" Right? Like, check it out, right? Because as soon as he was anointed by that prophet, his whole life changed. He was no longer driving his life. God was. And they said, he got up and said, this is what we're going to do now. And of course, he was part of the plan with Jezebel. He took down the most wicked queen in the kingdom. And he wasn't afraid of her. And he didn't put a hand on her. The power of God in him influenced the eunuchs. And all he said was, as she was by the window getting ready, beautiful woman in the physical realm, he said, those that are with me, throw her out of the window. Now, you know, there might have been like a wave, like, and they went, oh, I'm going to throw you out of the window. Or they might have went, we hated her anyway, we're going to throw her out of this window, man. Where would you, buddy? You're the winner now. And the prophecy came to pass. Amen. But the point is, there was an anointing on him because he wasn't driving his life no more. It says he was driven by the power of God. So who's driving you? Jesus will only direct our lives on a winning course if we choose to surrender the seat of control. The seat of direction. The seat that we hold on to because we like to say what it's about. We like to decide when to do what we want to do. How we want to do it. I understand that, but that doesn't bless us. He just wants to sit in the driver's seat to take us into a winning course. And since he knows the course, because he set that course of life, we're going to win, saints. Now you might say, I'm already a winner, then get out of the driver's seat. This is the truth, and young people might not want to hear it, but that's your choice. I just wanted you to hear it tonight. Because as far as I'm concerned, y'all are good racers. But if you start the engine and step out and step into the other seat right next to him, you get a full view of a beautiful life. You get all the experiences that you need to go through life. You get all the blessings of the outcome of his word. You get everything and all things inclusive if you just let him drive your life. That's his promise in his word. So tonight, I just pray that you don't get crabby or grumpy, that you just give him the wheel. Amen. Don't give him half the wheel. Don't give him the wheel with your hand tied onto the wheel. Amen. Don't give him the wheel with your foot onto the wheel. Tell me you don't like this message because I ain't giving up my driver's seat. Waited a long time to be in control of my life. I got news for you. You really ain't in control. So why not surrender to the one who actually has control and is a better, you know, advocate for us. Amen. One that can actually win the race. So don't grab the steering wheel. Let it go. Listen, again, don't be a backseat driver in a front seat. I know there's no backseat drivers in the house. But with Jesus, don't be a backseat driver in a front seat. Don't tell him. Let him show you the goodness of his grace. Amen? Once you turn your life over to him, trust where he's going to take you. Thank you for your time tonight. I believe that God really had a word for all of us. And when I got that word, it was for me first. Because so many times I like to stay in the driver's seat. I'll take direction. Yeah, I looked at it. I got instruction. Jesus, I can drive. Just tell me what to do. But don't you know that when we get that instruction, we seem to change it a little bit? One of the things that I'm not going to get into it deep, but one of the things, last night, you know, some of us men, we celebrated Pastor Russ's birthday and went to see Midway, the movie Midway. When I was overseas, that's where I was. They called it Holy Ground when I was there in the 70s because of the men that died there. And the ships that sunk and the war that was changed. But what I found out in the movie as well, and Pastor Al confirmed it in his military career of having that knowledge, is that a lot of the officers got instructions, but they never followed it. When you don't follow instruction, it costs lives. There's a reason why people that are here looking and you're here fighting can see what you cannot. God is above all things. He can see every battleground and every array of chariots in those days and every array of whatever warfare is happening. So when he gives you a directive here, don't think that your instructions of your knowledge of experience is greater than his knowledge of all things. Because he can see everything. Everything. And it can hurt things. It can hurt people. My prayer in the morning is always, Lord, bring the souls. But we got to be ready to love them. Kind of judge them when they walk in the door. Oh, no, they still look a little bad. And I'm going to put that one back in the stands. Amen. Everybody has a vehicle. It's called your body. Are you here? So let Jesus sit in the driver's seat. And he'll drive you to victory. I'm serious, he will. He'll drive us, drive all of us to victory, drive you to victory. So tonight, I know you're born again. If you're born again, that's the most powerful thing. But yet, sometimes we don't surrender the driver's seat, you know? We save bits and pieces for ourselves. We want to do it today. Today, God, I'm going to drive. You can stay home. I got this today. In fact, I got the whole week because I'm blessed already. So this week, when I'm in trouble, I'll come back again, God, and you can take the driver's seat again. By then, you're all scrubbing the road. You know what I mean? Your tires all more, no more skin on top. The metal all poking out. You know? Paka, paka, paka. You know? Everything's gone out, blowing black smoke, blowing white smoke out the back end. Everything's not working. God, you can take it back and you go fix it up. Come on, we know we do that. But prayerfully, we don't have to do it anymore. Just say, Lord, this is my vehicle. This is my body. It's your body. But actually, it's his. When you become born again, he paid the price for you, so he owns us. But this is the vehicle through life that our spirit is, oh, come on, is housed. So our spirit is in us. Our soul is in us. But this is the vehicle that he wants to drive. Let me drive your vehicle. I'll bless it, he says. I'll fill it full of my glory. There's none like me, he says. None. Father, we thank you tonight. Bless you. If you're watching, God bless you. And I'm not trying to draft you to be all race car drivers, but just use their terminology. Don't take your foot off the accelerator. Let Jesus get in that seat. Let him accelerate your life and push you forward. Father, I thank you tonight. The greatest gift is to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So if you're watching out there and that's you, I just want to pray with you. And just say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. Come into my heart and be the Lord of my life. I thank you for dying for me. Thank you, God, for raising your son from the dead. I receive you today. I receive you right now into my heart. And I thank you for forgiving me in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. If you prayed that prayer in the house, call us. Watching on the internet, call us. Give us a call. We'd love to pray for you. Direct you to a church in your area. If you're in our area, you don't have a church, come and visit us. Let God touch you, bless you, and heal you. I believe God has a great blessing for you. If the Lord touches your heart, we've got over 20 missions outreaches. Then you can give an offering. All you have to do is go to wordoftruthmaui.org. Click on the button. Send it right in. And we'll put it to use for the kingdom of God. God bless you. We love you and we thank you. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to release the ushers. I know the pastor I mentioned on Sunday. I'm going to mention it again tonight. Because we're very busy during this time in different places. And as I said, we're in Oahu last week. And this past Sunday, we have to fight up some areas in our own house. You know, Benaiah and Pastor Bobby got hit real hard physically, but praise God, you know, God healed it up less than 24 hours, and it was really intense. Yeah, he really did that. They went through some stuff, but God is that good, and I know you guys go through stuff too, but he did announce it. We're announcing it now. We got like three bids on the air conditioning. The actual price is $24,969, and so we got to come up with half of that to make sure that we can get a deposit in. And so we're asking everybody to just ask the Lord, see where it is, because that's going to go on the roof. It's way, it's about $13,000 cheaper than the other bid I got, and I've been looking for bids. God had given us a blessing with A and B. They gave us a two-year lease without us asking, and we were already outside our lease. They dropped our rent again without me asking them or even looking to do it. I was so surprised when it happened. So what does that mean? God wants us here. So he's got us here another 2 years. How many of you want to get cooled off? That's what I thought. I'm my hands up too. So we also, chip in. The leadership has been challenged to go ahead and do whatever they can. And they were given a total amount because we're all going to challenge ourselves to get to that point. But we're all working together. So talk to the Lord. Ask him. This is what we want to do. So we got to come up with $12,000. We're trying to do it by the end of the month so we can initiate him, because it's going to take about 4 to 6 weeks to get the work done. Then we pay off the balance. That's how it works. Everybody want to get cool? Now, it's not just us. Sunday's going to get it too. Everybody on Sunday. Because we know that people like to come on Sunday, and the rest of the week, they take control of the driving seat again. Anyways, but we're blessed for that. God is good. Amen. God is good. But just let the Lord touch your heart. Amen. But that's where his focus is. All you have to put on that offering, whatever it is, beautifying the house. And it goes into a separate account, and it's put on the side just for that. And we're going to utilize it to get an AC on that roof. Amen. So that we can be cool and calm. Hallelujah. And we're blessed, and God has showed us some great mercy on that. It's a great time to be alive. Let God in the driver's seat. Let his son take the wheel. It'll be a blessed journey. Amen? I don't want to drive no more. Sometimes we can drive ourselves so hard, the enemy don't care. If he can't stop you, he'll try to push you. And he'll push you into places you shouldn't be. So be blessed tonight. I'm blessed you're here. God bless you. God's going to bless this tithe and this offering. God always increases and brings the blessing in. And I missed Pastor Olulu. I missed the bucket. Oh, thank you. Brother Martin, could you come down here and do some cardio and help me out here? Thank you. We like to do cardio. Oh, I loves cardio. The cardio queen. So we're blessed, amen. Lord, we thank you for that tithe and offering. We bless you. Bless you for anything that came in for the beautifying of the house. We thank you for the souls for the kingdom that came in through the internet. We thank you, God, for every day of life. We thank you for the blessings upon our souls and our hearts. We bless you most of all for loving us without even having a full understanding of that great love and that power, the mercy, the compassion, the forgiveness. Thank you for being such a wonderful person, the only true God, Jehovah. We bless you tonight. We pray healing in the house. Pray for a touch of the Holy Spirit right now, a fresh baptism, especially for those that the hearts are hurting. Broken hearts are a very, very important part of what God wants to heal up, as well as the physical body, the mind, the spirit, and the soul. So tonight, I pray that God will touch you and bless you. May his face shine upon you. May your days be numbered great upon the land. May your life be full of his glory. May you know that his love exceeds any understanding that we have, and his mercy extends through generations. As he brings healing into our vessels, all I want you to say tonight is, I receive from you, God, the fullness of your glory. I receive, God, the fullness of your glory. I receive, God, tonight, the fullness of your glory. I thank you, God, and we bless you for all the children. We thank you as we leave this place. Keep us safe. Keep us safe on the highways and the byways. In Jesus' name we say, amen and amen. Now, nobody go out there and be those car racers. Amen. We don't need you on the road doing that tonight. So make sure you drive safe. I love you. God bless you. Altar's open for prayer. Be back on again. And yes, thank you, son. And the prophetic gathering coming up December 7, 8, and 9. Is it? Or 6, 7, 7, 8, 9? 6, 7, and 8, right? Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night. Amen. Thank you for all your wrong help. No, just kidding. Don't forget the prophetic gathering. We've got wonderful ministers coming in to be able to bless us and help us. So I believe Friday night, everybody in. Saturday night, everybody in. Sunday, we do have the children's church. Sunday night, everybody in. Amen. So I believe even the young people, even our children are going to get word. And I believe it's going to be a great time. Amen. It's going to be a good time. Even our cake is going to get blessed. Hallelujah. Love you all. God bless you. Altar's open for prayer. Thanks, Manaya.